We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for all of y'all that might have your Bibles in your cars or have your Bibles at home. And chapter 4, verse 13. And we're going to be reading probably a pretty famous text that you know of, talking about the coming of the Lord. But one of the things about that is it's often a popular funeral text, right? And it's a popular funeral text for a reason, because funeral texts are most of the time about hope. You don't ever go to a funeral and have somebody share something that's all doom and gloom. Rather, you always go and you hear some sort of message of hope, hope about life after death. Well, the reality is hope's always good. Right? And so as we look at this text that is often a funeral text, it's really an Easter text as well. And I think we'll see that pretty clearly. And I don't know about you, but this morning, of course, I got here at the church quite early. I was probably here 5:45-ish. And just praying and thinking, and I'm picking up a lot off that, David. just praying and thinking, and playing music way before everybody started driving in. And one of the things that always hits me at Easter is we know Jesus is risen. Right? And the thing is, he's risen each and every day, and every Sunday we boast in the fact that he's risen. Right? That's the whole point, that we come to worship a living Savior. Otherwise, we shouldn't come at all. And so when we think about Easter, this is the day we remember it. But one of the things that Easter always makes me think of, and it may sound morbid, but I promise it's not when you think of it the right way, it makes me think of death. And it brings me to tears to think about, and maybe it's something that's been on your mind too, to think about that our loved ones that have gone on before us, it's because of Easter we know there's hope. It's because of Easter we know we'll see him again. And so that's just been on my mind, a lot of my loved ones that I've lost that I have been thinking about. So I just want to pray that you'll be encouraged as we go through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Begin reading in verse 13. Follow along with me if you can. It says this: "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him those who have fallen asleep, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be always with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." See, as Paul was writing this letter to the Thessalonians, that whole point, that last sentence, was the whole point he wrote, to encourage the brothers. And he wanted them to know this truth so that they could encourage one another. And he's obviously, as I said, the reason this is often a funeral text is because he's encouraging them about those who have passed on. He says, "I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep," meaning dead, "that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." And you know what that looks like. Unfortunately, most probably everybody knows what that looks like. You may have been to a funeral before where there are many family members who don't know anything about that hope, and they're completely broken. Not that there's no grieving in the Christian family, but there is a different grieving. There's a grieving that hurts because you had to say goodbye, but it's not a hopelessness type of grieving. It's knowing that we will see them again, yet for a little while, we see them no more. We miss them. And so Paul's trying to tell these Christians not to grieve like the lost world. And just think about that for a minute, right? Could you imagine if death really was permanent? See, we think about it because we know people who died, and then we may die before they ever come back. We think, well, death is pretty permanent, but the Scripture tells us otherwise. In fact, we know that we lose to death 10 times out of 10. But if we're in Christ Jesus, we beat death 10 times out of 10. And so ultimately we know there's something to look forward to. First thing I want to look at, though, is that power of resurrection. The power of resurrection. He doesn't want to be uninformed, but look at verse 14, y'all. He makes the Easter point. This is what he says: "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Did you catch that? Since we know that Jesus died and rose again, he will too bring those who have fallen asleep and died and he will make them rise again. It's only because of the power of the resurrection that he's able to do this. That's what makes Easter so great, because on the cross, Jesus beat sin, but in the grave and the rising from the grave, Jesus beat death. We had two enemies, sin and death. You may name Satan, but Satan's just a henchman, right? He just leads some things. He has no power. He's not equal with God. He's not the one that's ultimately at some sort of battle with God. He's a defeated opponent, but there is sin and there is death, the tools that he used, and Christ Jesus brought both of them down, right? And so when we look at this, he's making that Easter point that Jesus beat death and so will we. That's the power of resurrection. I'm a basketball fan. I won't say I'm a good basketball player, but I am a basketball fan. And I remember growing up as a little kid, because he did retire when I was still little, but as a little kid, it was still about Michael Jordan. He was the guy. Right, and so Michael Jordan, I remember watching his highlights and all these other things, and I always loved the dunk contest when it come time for NBA All-Stars. And I remember watching the iconic picture of Michael Jordan jumping from the free throw line and dunking the ball. And then I seen Dr. J, who was obviously a lot before him, Julius Erving, come and do the same thing a different way. And I used to think, wow, that's amazing. Nobody could jump from the free throw line. But now, if you watch any of the sports or basketball, you see that actually, a lot of people can jump from the free throw line, a lot more than I ever thought could. There's guys doing it all the time. Now, obviously not me and probably not you, but there are a lot of people that can do these athletic things, jumping from a free throw line, dunking the basketball. And that's the way it is with a lot of sports, right? And somebody has to break the barrier or do something that nobody else has ever done, and then all of a sudden everybody starts doing it. They're able to pull it off. But y'all, here's the rub. While we have some awesome, awesome innovations and awesome accomplishments in humanity, right? Whether it is medical or athletic or all these other things, we have people doing amazing things. People working right now in the midst of this pandemic for different cures and things, they're doing amazing things. But all that being said, they may have some awesome accomplishment, but the rub is nobody was ever going to beat death for you. I mean, we try, right? We can give medicine to try to make us live till we're way past 100. I don't think I want to, but you could, right? We have people who actually freeze themselves, hoping that one day science can make them live again. They'll be able to live forever, right? We'll get cryogenically frozen. But nobody is going to beat death. All these things are futile, except for Jesus. He was the first. Yeah, of course, I know there's resurrection in the Old Testament, and even Jesus rose people from the dead before he died. But then the Bible tells us that he was the first fruits, that by his model of death and resurrection, we too can beat death. He did it first, and now we can follow suit. See, the cross, on the cross, Jesus paid our sins and defeated its power over us. But in the resurrection, he defeated the grave and brought an end to its power over us. So that when we go to a funeral and we look down at the casket of our beloved loved one who knows Christ Jesus, that's obviously a key, somebody who knows Jesus, but we look down at that casket and we have to realize, I don't care how good that wood is, I don't care if you put them in a cement box, and I don't care if you put them further than 6 feet down, Jesus Christ is going to bust them out. The power of the grave is going to bust them out, that they will live again. The resurrection is what gives us hope beyond this life. He lives. That's the power of resurrection. But then next, y'all, we see the promise of resurrection. The promise of resurrection. Look at verses 15 and 16 again. It says, "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." So there he's just simply saying, talking about the end times when Jesus returns, right? And he says, we're not going to get to go to heaven while they're on like a waiting period. In fact, he's going to say right after this, verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Yeah, I know, y'all, that sounds unbelievable. And the reality is it should right now. Because if you're here, you're watching this online, you know what it looks like. But if you're here in the drive parking lot at the drive-in service, all you got to do is look out here to the side of the church and you see a field full of stones, a graveyard. And we can go out there and read the names and see the dates. We can go out there and weed eat around them. We can put some pretty flowers. But I'm going to tell you, I've never seen one of them break open before. I've never seen anybody come up out of there yet. And honestly, if I'm here by myself and I did, I'd run. right? That would be terrifying. But the reality is, I haven't seen that happen yet, and neither have you. This type of reality isn't something we're used to. So in a sense, it should seem unbelievable. But I'm telling you that Scripture tells us that one day those graves bust open. And this is how we know Jesus came back bodily, right? Some people like to say, well, Jesus died, but he didn't really rise from the dead. It was just his spirit. That we just sort of seen Jesus floating around after his resurrection. And he was sort of floating around like this spirit. No. The Bible says that he was a man, that you could touch him, that he would eat, and all these things. And the same is going to be true for us. That's why Paul taught so much about, in Corinthians, about the body. He says, don't think about your body as worthless, but that there's going to be a glorified body. That thing that's broken because of sin, I'm going to make new. And I'm telling you, though, that it's all because of that power of the resurrection. But now we see this promise of resurrection, and he's telling them about a future resurrection. Right? He says one day the graves are going to bust open, and then we who are remaining, those who are in Christ that are here, he says we will meet with them. Right? So the dead in Christ rise first, and then we go up. I remember you ever heard I don't know if they still do this, but a lot of pizza places used to say, for delivery, I doubt they do this anymore. Some of them might, but pizza delivery in 30 minutes or less, or it's free, right? And I remember used to order a pizza, which Nicole's not here to tell on me except on Facebook Live, but I don't order pizza. I'm not paying a delivery fee, right? I'll just go pick it up. But all that being said, when I did, I remember waiting for the car to show up, and you're timing it, and you're thinking, oh boy, they better get it in 30 minutes or it's free. And there was a time when some drive-thrus actually did this. I don't know if it was McDonald's or one, but they used to have the little clock sitting on the window. And as you're waiting for your food, you're watching the clock, and uh-oh, better hurry up and get out here. It's going to be free. And so I used to think about those things. But the thing is, pizza in 30 minutes or less is a promise until traffic's an issue. Right? Amazon Prime promises you shipping in 2 to 3 days until a pandemic comes. Right, and then things are pushed off for weeks and months. The thing is, all of these people can make these promises, but there's so many factors that can lead into them, that can hinder them. Traffic stops them, a pandemic stops them, all these things come in, variables they didn't think about, and they can't keep their promises. But God, I'm telling you, God never has hindrances that stop him from keeping his promises. Right. So when we come on Easter, yeah, this is an unorthodox way to celebrate Easter. I would love for us to, right now, we would have a bunch of metal chairs set out in the parking lot over here, and we'd be staring at the graveyard directly, and we'd have this sunrise service. And then at 11, not 10, but at 11, we would be in this building, and we would be singing praises like, up from the grave he arose. And because he lives, and I miss that. But all that being said, y'all, all of that isn't necessarily what Easter's about. Easter's about the fact that Jesus is our King, and he's alive right now. And he's with us right now. And he's watching us right now. And when he tells us that, hey, y'all, I beat the grave, and one day you're going to beat the grave as well, we can take his promise to the bank and know that nothing can ever stop him, that there's nothing that can hold him, that he is ultimately the one who can keep his promises no matter what. One day the graves will bust open, we'll be raised to meet Christ in the air. And this is what we have to look forward to, y'all, and it's good. Because he lives, you will live. Nothing can stand in the way of that truth. But then finally, here in these texts, we see the peace of resurrection, the peace of resurrection. Look at verse 17 and 18. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I love this last part of that verse. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. In these last two verses, we see the peace of resurrection. The peace of resurrection. Paul tells us what's going to happen at the end, y'all. He says, and this is what I'm talking about when I talk about future resurrection. See, the Bible paints this picture that it isn't just some spirit that leaves our body and we go to be in heaven. Yeah, there's a period for that, or maybe this waiting period. A lot of people don't know what's happening during this intermediate time. The Bible tells us way more about the end than it tells us about the right now as far as death. But we do know that 1 Corinthians 15 is the big text to look at if you want to see this, that at the end, when Jesus comes back and he brings an end to everything, and came to be the ultimate judge of good and evil. And we see, he says, the graves will bust open. He says, we're called together to meet him in the air. And then, he says, we're with him forevermore. We're with him forever. We will always be with the Lord. Y'all, this is the best encouragement that you could have, that God takes us and keeps us. Amen. Do you ever get narrow-sighted and forget just how much you've been blessed? Think about this pandemic we're in. I was actually walking around here a little bit early before all the cars showed up for the drive-in. Just a few were here. And I walked over to Ann and Jim Waters, and I said, "How y'all doing? How's quarantine treating you?" And they said, "Well, pretty good. Nothing's really changed for us, except they told us we can't leave. We didn't go anywhere anyways." And I said, "Well, that's kind of the way I feel too, right? I always just went home and went to the grocery store, and that's about it, right? There wasn't a lot that's missing that I had planned." But it is a little different when they say, "Well, you can't go do this, and you can't go do that." And there may be times where you're probably getting stir crazy, right? Or hopefully not, but you want to strangle your kids, don't do that. But you might have all those types of things going on at home, and a lot of it's just ultimately won't make you pull your hair out. And in the midst of this time, man, don't we take so many things for granted? I don't know about y'all, but one day I was sitting in my house and I'm sitting here looking at the headlines. I'm starting to get, man, you know, this is depressing, which is what the news does to you, right? This is depressing. Why am I watching this? And then I realized, while I'm sitting here complaining, I know that I can still get in my car, go to Walmart or Bilo, and yeah, they may not have the exact meat that I use. They may not have the exact toilet paper that I use, or they may not have any toilet paper at all, and I have to drive to another store to get toilet paper or all these other things. But then I'm just sitting here thinking, how much of a luxury is this to so much of the world that I can go and get whatever food I need? That I can go to this freezer right now and pull out a bag of chicken nuggets and heat it up in an oven. And that's just worldly comforts that we have, y'all, but we do take so much for granted. And here's the thing, if you ever get narrow-sighted and forget how much you've been blessed, don't even think about those worldly comforts. Strip them all away and think just for a minute. Here's what you have if you're in Christ. You were lost and dead in your trespasses and sin. He who came and died for your sins brought you to life spiritually. He's going to bring you to life physically one day, and then you're going to be with Him forevermore. We did nothing to earn it. There was nothing we could do to earn it. We can't work hard enough. This is no taskmaster. He's not a slave master that's driving us. He's not even a boss in a sense that's keeping track of our hours and making sure that we do the work in order to get in. No. He tells us that He's our Father, which means He claims us no matter what. He puts His name on us. He's got us. He's holding on to us tightly. And no matter what, we are with Him and we will be with Him forevermore. Y'all, that is amazing. No matter how hard life can get here, we know that the time we have on this earth is but a vapor, a mist. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know, I've heard it many times. People say, be careful. Life flies by fast. The older you get, it just seems to fly by. And it did seem that way, right? When you're a child or a teenager, you're always waiting. And even now, especially since I've had Janie, I'm seeing how fast she's growing up. And I'm thinking, man, before long, she's going to be graduating. And she's only 1.5, but time just seems to fly by. And the reason we feel that is because life is this vapor. But I'm telling you that eternity is forever and way longer. And if you're in Christ Jesus, and because He lives, y'all, we're with Him forevermore. So where does your peace lie today, right? Where does it lie? Make sure your peace rests in an unchanging place. That's something that changes with the headlines, not something that changes with the weather, right? I know we're supposed to get some bad weather this evening, winds and all these other things. But you know what? Remember it was like 70 in the winter? All of a sudden you can't control the weather. It's just doing crazy things. Well, my hope's not in the weatherman. My hope is in Jesus, the one who never changes. That place where we have unchangingness is with God, who will be our Lord forevermore. And y'all, we have so much to look forward to. So here's my challenge to you. Don't let the present time break you. Don't let it cause you to get depressed or discouraged. Because, y'all, we have so much to be thankful for. We have the peace of resurrection, knowing that no matter what this life throws at us, we have the next life assured because of Christ Jesus, because of an empty grave. Man, the cloudy here today, but we know just the way it's lit up already that the sunrise is here. It's probably hiding behind some clouds. I see a little bit off in the distance. But here's the thing. The sunrise is coming, but when the sun stops rising for me and for you, I'm thankful that we already know the sun who rose. My hope doesn't lie in the fact that the sun will continue to rise and set. My hope lies in the Son, the S-O-N, the one who took on flesh and died for me and gave me access to God. Amen and hallelujah. We have an awesome, awesome Savior. And in closing, I just want to say this. I opened with this, but I want to close with this. I wish my mom wasn't on Facebook Live, but I'm pretty sure she is. I just didn't want to bring it up. But one of the things that's just been on my mind tremendously this morning is my dad. And when I said at the beginning, loved ones that passed on, you probably had people that come to your mind immediately that you remember. They're always there. You think about them quite often. A song plays and you think about them, you see something. I was cleaning out my closet the other day. We have some, Nicole's mother's coming to visit today, and we had some hats and stuff. She made me clean up my man cave so they had a place to sleep, and I was cleaning it out, and I had a bunch of hats, and they were all my father's, and so I'm going through them. I'm seeing all the sweat stains and other things, the ones he worked in. So that was on my mind, and then we get to Easter, and I'm telling you, y'all, that when we look at an empty grave of Jesus, it brings me no more joy to think that death is an enemy that I hate, but he doesn't win. He does not win. Jesus wins. Jesus already won. And because he lives, we live. And because he lives, our hope is so great. I want you to have joy over Easter. But if you're like me and you might be grieving a little bit today, I want you to have joy over that too. I want you to know that if your loved one knew Christ Jesus, and I pray they did, and you know Christ Jesus, you'll see him again. You'll see him again. We'll all see him again. When that time comes, these graves are going to bust open. And y'all, we might not be here on earth. We may join them in the grave. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but I don't really care where I am. All I know is I'm going to be with him always, forevermore. That's the great hope that we have. Let us pray.